And joining us now, we have two-time major champion, the 79 Masters, the 84 U.S. Open, Fuzzy Zeller. Fuzzy, welcome into the golf shop.
Yeah, Mark, thank you, buddy. How is everything this morning? Hope everything's doing well for you.
We are. You know, tell me about back when you were playing, you know, in the 70s and the 80s, and the golf that was being played and the things that were going on in the PGA Tour. What's different then versus now, in your opinion?
Well, I don't think anything's really different. I think the players have gotten better. I think the cell phones kind of changed things. You know, guys are a little bit more careful about what they're doing on the outside of the golf, from the golf course. Unlike it was when we were younger. Hell, when we were younger, we used to be able to get away with a little bit of everything. But, you know, when you can go viral here in about 2 or 3 minutes, that catches the attention of a lot of the young guys.
What about the emphasis on winning? I mean, we see, like, the FedEx Cup Championship. We know the great year that Rory McIlroy had, but he still didn't win it. Somebody was able to win a couple of late events and win something like the FedEx Cup Championship. Is there less of an emphasis on winning because there's so much money out in the PGA Tour?
And there is a lot of money out there. There's no doubt about it. I have a hard time comparing what we did in our prime and what the kids are doing today, because, you know, they can cover our whole winnings all in 1 week. So it's kind of hard to match up apples to apples on that deal. But you know what? Yeah, it's golf. It seems like golfers are very, very streaky nowadays, unlike they used to be. I mean, you know, Jack was very consistent. Arnold was very consistent. All of our stars were very, very consistent type golfers. The kids today, just they wait for those 2 or 3 weeks where they get hot with that putter and get everything clicking, and they make a ton of money. That's about the only difference I've seen.
You know, you're a Masters champion, you're a U.S. Open champion. It seemed like there was a stretch there when your name was at the top of the leaderboard on just about any major that was being played. In your mind, what was the most difficult major to try and win?
No, that's a good question. Yeah, I'd say the U.S. Open and or British Open would be the two. You know, the Masters is Augusta. I mean, Augusta really, over the years, hasn't changed any. I mean, yeah, they've added length to it, but I mean, with the way the young men are hitting the ball, it's comparable to what we used to hit into those greens. But the U.S. Open, you play under the toughest conditions. The British Open, you play under the toughest weather conditions most of the time. So those two, I'd put probably the toughest to win.
Now, you are the third person in history that won the Masters on their first attempt, the others being Horton Smith in the first one and Gene Sarazen in the second Masters. What did that victory back in 1979 do for your career at that point? I believe you turned professional in 73. You won your first tournament in 79 earlier that year. What did that Masters win do for you?
Well, it just changes your whole life. You know, there's something magical about that green jacket. And even today, at going on 63 years old, that green jacket is still magical. I mean, people just remember, for golfers, you know, we're remembered by what we have done in the major tournaments. Not so much playing just tournaments week by week, but you can win 30 or 40 of those. But if you don't win a major, it's kind of like Colin Montgomery. It's like your career just never was fulfilled. You know, my sack's been full since I won Augusta. It was, you know, corporate America came around. It was great, and I enjoyed every minute of it. And if I had to do it over again, I would do the same. So, it's just I don't know. Like I tell you, it's a great feeling knowing that you beat the best at what they do on some of the toughest conditions.
You know, we talk a lot lately about the Ryder Cup and Tom Watson, and a lot of people are kind of throwing Tom Watson under the bus. I mean, and that's unfortunate for me.
I've got to tell you something. Tom never hit a shot. I don't remember seeing him swing one.
Yeah, and that's kind of the point.
I got to tell you something about that Ryder Cup. That is a great format and a great deal for the game of golf. But when you get 24 of the best players in the world going at it, and you've got 12 of them that get hot, it's hard to beat them. It really is. But what a great show. And what I mean, it's just a great show. It's a win deal for the game of golf. The competitiveness, the team event, they're draping the flags over each other. Well, you see what it means to them. I mean, the guys, you know, the Europeans have got that down to a science right now. And it would be nice here in a couple of years we can go over and come back over here and kick their butts just to give them a little piece of humble pie. But, you know, the big winner in the whole deal is the game of golf.
Well, certainly, and but you know, we're sitting here. We have passion as golfers living in the United States and wanting to represent our country, and everybody seems to have an opinion about, you know, why are the Americans not winning Ryder Cups? And you know, obviously, it does come down to who hits the best shots, who makes the most putts. But are we overanalyzing why we're not winning?
Well, I don't know. You know, it's just one of those things, as you said, it all comes down to who hits the shots. Now, the Europeans this year hit some tremendous shots under the heat, and they made some great putts. And, you know, when you play against the best in the world, great things happen with those guys. And, you know, I don't look at that group as European guys. Hell, they all live in Orlando, Florida, for God's sake. So, you know, Well, I'm going to say 99% of them live in Orlando, Florida. There might be a couple of them up in Jacksonville. But, it's one of those deals. Tom's got to take the heat because he is the coach. But like I say, he put his best players out there. Everybody's going to give him help because he didn't play, Mickelson. But you got to remember, he's not a young pup anymore. This is a young man's game. And you try to pump it 36 holes a day, it takes a toll on the body.
Oh, it sure does. Again, we're speaking with two-time major champion Fuzzy Zeller. Fuzzy, as you played all over the world in your time back in the PGA Tour and on the Champions Tour, what were a couple of your favorite golf courses to play on the PGA Tour?
Oh, that's great. I mean, they're all different. You know, I look at golf courses like people. They all have different personalities. Yes, there are some that you really enjoy going to, and yes, there are some that you just hate seeing. My hate seeing was the British Open, Lytham St. Anne's over there. Was one of them that I just absolutely hated going to. It's not that the golf course was that bad, it just didn't set up to my eye. And I just, you know, you just didn't feel comfortable on the golf course. But there's some beautiful golf courses and great golf courses I've played over the years over in Australia. Well, I mean, everywhere. I've been fortunate enough to see a whole lot of them. And to put one in front of the other, it's very difficult to do. I will tell you, my little gem is Augusta. I think Augusta, for not having any mountains or oceans to look at, is just carved out of the hills there in Georgia. It is still spectacular, and that's a very special place.
Well, of course, and you won two times down at the Heritage Classic, so obviously maybe yeah. Harbortown has a special place in your heart.
Well, again, Hilton Head was one of those golf courses I felt very good on. You know, it's one of those that you don't have to overpower, but you got to hit golf shots. You got to keep the ball in play and keep it out the damn trees. And I was able to do that a couple of times down there.
Well,
Davis Love III, Hubert Green's another one who's won down there a couple of times. You know, but there's a variety. You have the long hitters, and then you have a hitter like Hubert, who was never real long, but very, very accurate. That golf course is kind of set up for just about everybody. It is a tremendous test.
You know, and it seems like a golf course like that, and I had a chance to play Harbortown last weekend, is one of those courses that anybody has the potential to play on, because it's all about getting the ball out there and getting the ball out there in the right position. And
yeah,
as we build some of these new golf courses, you know, and the yardage gets longer and longer, is that really hurting the game of golf? Or because the golf ball and the equipment's becoming so good, is it keeping it fairly neutral in terms of how courses are playing?
Well, again, I think length of golf courses for the amateur golfer is hurting it. I think the prices they're charging to play 18 holes of golf is hurting it. Plus the pace of play. You know, people need to play the game just a little bit faster. Learn how to play out of a cart. You know, a cart is a great asset, but you got to know how to do it. If not, it'll slow the game down. But there's a lot of things that we can do as professional golfers to help the game in a little bit. Pace of play is one of them. But, you know, when you see the best golfers in the world on TV taking 5.5 to 6 hours to play, you know, the red flags should go up the pole and say, what's happening here? What are we doing? It used to take 3 hours, 3.5 hours to play the game. that's a great thing about the Champions Tour. It's, you know, they're still hoofing around there pretty quickly. They're right at 4 hours, and if it takes over 4 hours, then we do talk about it.
So what else has been going on in the world of Fuzzy Zeller since you've been playing a little bit less and less golf over the years?
I have a hard decision to make every day I get up. You know, what color socks do I put on and what color blue jeans am I going to wear? It's not easy being me. No, I'm enjoying it, but I got to tell you, I slowed everything down. I'm kind of somewhat retired. Only because of the arthritis in the hands, and then I was starting to have trouble with my hips. So, you know, the man upstairs telling me to slow down, so that's what I'm doing. I'm doing a lot of hunting and fishing, enjoying the heck out of that. But other than that, my life's not that difficult. You know, selling a little vodka here and there, just having a great time, watching life go around.
Yeah, I'm sitting here looking at Fuzzy's Vodka online, and how did you get into that?
That all started over the wine. I had the wine people coming to me wanting me to put my name on private label wines. And, you know, I've always been one of those people, but if I don't believe in a product, I'm not putting my name on it. So I've told wine people, you know, I'm not the guy for this job. I don't drink wine. I can tell you sweet from dry, but as far as good and bad, I don't know. And they all taste the same to me.
Right.
And I was sitting in my office here 9 years ago, 9 years ago, and they're just throwing stuff on the wall, seeing if something would stick on a Saturday morning. One of my buddies walks by and goes, hey, he said, I overheard your conversation. He goes, well, hell, you don't drink wine, but you drink enough vodka, so why don't you do a vodka? And I went, now that's got some merit to it. Let's talk about that. So that's how it all started, by golly. So, you know, we've watching it grow. It's for now, what is this, our sixth year of having it out. And we're watching it climb right up the ladder. It is a very good vodka. I made sure I did the right stuff. It's made in Bend, Oregon. Everything's American-made. Hell, we're gluten-free. So if you're a person who has the allergies, you can enjoy this vodka and not have any allergy problems.
Well, Fuzzy, it was great catching up with you this morning. Look forward to more success out of you on that side. And, man, we want to talk to you again sometime.
Well, you got my number. You can give me a buzz anytime, by golly. Morning time's the best time to get me, so if not this time of year, I'll be hanging from a tree stand out there.
All right, well, have fun, and again, thanks for coming on with us.
It's our pleasure. Thank you very much.
All right, thanks. Thank you so much, sir.